We welcome you in the precious name of the Lord. It will have certainly have happened to you as it did to me. If one hears these wonderful songs, then a deep longing comes up in the heart. If it only would be already so far that the Lord would take us home into His wonderful glory. And then the thought came to me that these gatherings are not out of habit, but that they are looked at as preparations for this great and wonderful day when the Lord takes His own home. And woe unto us, woe unto me, and to every other preacher, if we don't bring the Word of God to the listeners in such a way that they are called out, that they are saved, delivered, redeemed, and prepared for this great and glorious day. And in view of this fact and being aware of the consequences, we will also start this service and put our hope alone in the grace and our expectations on God, not on a man, but on God. We know that God until now has used men, and He will continue to do so. But the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. Everything what we do without Him was a waste of time. It should not have been done at all. So we want to let Him work by grace. Together we begin this service with a song 408. Today I have chosen three hymns which are not sung so often. 408. Lord, we pray fervently to you, but we ask no earthly goods from you. Let us sing it fervently and with all our hearts. 408. Lord, we pray fervently to you, but we ask no earthly goods from you. Nothing to be boasted with. Nothing the world asks for. See, we only want, Lord, you know it. We want only to walk after your Spirit. Nothing shall stand in His way. Take you alone. Take our hearts. Praise be to the name of the Lord. This we can and this we want to experience together today. God says the truth, and we can rely on Him and on His word. In the second stanza, if I wanted to sing, I'm about to start thanking. And I think that's how it shall be. I told it to you before. Brother Branham mentions it in a sermon that sometimes totally unbelieving people who come for the first time under the proclamation of the Word of God, that they are healed, and that people who are for decades believers leave the platform still sick. And this has most certainly a reason. The unbeliever beats on his chest and says, "O God, be merciful to me, sinner." And he knows that he deserved nothing, that he actually nothing would have to expect, and puts all his hope on the Lord. And then he will not be ashamed. The believer comes to the front and speaks to himself in tongues, and this happens many times, and we have absolutely nothing against it. And I want to say it like Paul, and this with a sincere heart. I wished that all would speak with tongues, but even more that they prophesy. But what good is it to me in that moment when it comes to my healing? Then I have to understand this situation, that God is not requiring of me now that I say something, but that I believe, that I wholeheartedly put my heart into this matter that this moment is about. If we have a prayer meeting, yes, please, then we pray. And if we suggest hymns, then we sing. But when it comes to the fact that people want to experience their healing, then they have to focus on Jesus Christ, the crucified one, and think in their heart, "He was wounded for my transgressions. He was smitten and stricken for my sin. The chastisement was laid upon Him so that we might have peace, and by His stripes we are healed." Believe me today, if we want to experience God, we have to be in the matter and the topic that is going on at that very moment. If we don't do that, we will lose the blessing of God. Before we pray, let us read Psalms 85, a comforting, strengthening psalm. Psalms 85. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for the entire inspired Word of God. Lord, how wonderful is every thought which is expressed here. We ask you, O God, be merciful to us today. Be nigh unto us. May righteousness and peace kiss each other. May thy wrath turn away, and may your love flow into our hearts. Faithful Lord, we are called by thy name, and in thy name we are gathered, so that you can confirm thy word, that you can make it true in spirit, soul, and body. Faithful Lord, may this service bring forth fruit for eternity. We pray especially for all who are in trouble, who suffer, who are depressed. O God, they shall know that they are not alone. You are with them. You are with all of us. You lead us very deep ways to eliminate all waste. You purge us in the oven of misery, as your word says it, and then we come forth purged. Lord, save the lost. Deliver who are spiritually bound in prison. Heal all who have their physical infirmities. May this day be a day which you have made for your glory, for the confirmation of your word, and so that we can have an experience with you. Faithful Lord, we thank you by faith, for we put our trust most certainly not in us miserable people, but on you, the living and true God. And we thank you that you are today in our midst. May this gathering be under the coverage of your blood, O Lord, under the leading of your Spirit, and glorify thyself, thy name. Together we thank you for it and say, Amen. You may be seated. I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord and hope that God's word will address everyone and that nobody wastes his time on some kind of earthly things or is disturbed by this. Sometimes it can happen when we see something that can disturb us on our inside. If this happens to you, you can prevent it. There is a simple recipe for it. You close your eyes, not to sleep, but to avoid being distracted. But I believe that God is with us and that nobody is disturbed, but that we undisturbed hear the word of God, taking it to heart and also experience it. Firstly, I would like to extend heartfelt greetings from our brothers and sisters from the Middle East. I visited now Egypt, Jordan, and Syria in January. Just one thing as a testimony from Cairo. I met the same taxi driver who was driving me already in October, with whom I could pray, and he told me, radiant with joy, "Mister, since you prayed for me at that time, something happened with me that I hardly can understand myself. From that day on, I didn't smoke anymore." And then he listed a couple of things. And I was so happy about it. I had not even known that he smokes. I just prayed that God saves his soul. And this the Lord did. And for this touched me so much. Those were almost the first words he said to me. And so we see that nothing is in vain, not even a ride in the taxi. It can be used by God to show a soul the way to the Lord. In Jordan, I again found a deep fellowship. Now on Wednesday, two of the brethren from there will be here with us in Krefeld. God has opened wonderful doors, and it will spread, and it will be hearable what God has done in this time. Syria forms a chapter for itself. About this, one cannot say much. There, the believers are a bit like the Germans in the Third Reich, in the Second World War, that they listened more to the propaganda than to believe the Word of God. And there, I once had a bad experience, but I just couldn't let them go away with it. All the accusations against Israel, against the Jews, exceeded every measure. And then I had to speak up, and I just said, if you don't respect the Word of God and His decisions, you don't respect God Himself. And I had to set forth to them in a few words that it is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I tell you, it was the first time in all of my life where I had to reckon with it, that every moment, not only words, but that they could really rip me into pieces. And I stood up and took my Bible, and I have offered peace in the name of the Lord, and especially to that one young man who wanted to be something. These are always the preachers who carry the Bible under their arm and not having it open before them, who think they know much, and yet they don't know what they should know. And then it turns out to be a disadvantage to them. But all in all, with God's help, I was able to bring also this situation to a somewhat good end. That was about 350 kilometers away from Damascus, very close to the Turkish border in Aleppo. But then the final meeting in Damascus made everything more than well. And this was for me actually something God sent. You all know the story of Saul. He is on his way to Damascus, and suddenly a bright light struck him at midday. And I took this opportunity. I had the photograph of Brother Branham with me, with the pillar of fire. And then I could tell the audience the plain truth. And I said, dear friends, you showed me the street on which Paul walked, and the place where he has fallen from the horse, and where this and that supposed to have happened. But I will report to you today of that what God has done in our time. And I was received so deeply, you could feel that every word was just received. And so I'm grateful that the Lord, right in that city, Damascus, for which there is no good prophecy written in the Bible, in the prophet Isaiah, but rather that it will lie in rubble and ashes. And nevertheless, there are believers there. I just hope that the Lord leads them out in time, so that they are not buried under the debris. Since the Second World War, I haven't seen so much debris as there, not so much military on the streets, so many checkpoints as it is there on the agenda. But one thing we know, that God brings His work to the completion, that He never has made a mistake, and that He knows precisely what He does. One thing is perhaps very important as an information for us who we live in Western Europe. We have a free, uncensored press. Whether it's always realistic or not, this we don't want to discuss now. But there, all informations are censored. And I have informed myself very well about the refugee camps that they talk about. And now, sit still, and I'm glad that you are seated. Refugee camps only existed in 1948, maybe 1949 or 1950. And since then, the same name has been used without things having stayed the same. They all have a reasonable house or small house. The television antenna is on the roof, the cars are in the yard, the people go to work, the children go to school, everything runs normal, as also in our everyday life. Only to play up a political issue again and again is all this spread by the media, and thus the hatred against Israel is fueled. If somebody tells you it's refugee camps, then you can tell to these people confidently, the shape of a camp is preserved, but that has nothing to do with taking flight. You all know that millions of Germans who lived in all the Eastern Bloc countries have fled, and that they have all been integrated, one here and one there. But these peoples have such a great sense of togetherness. There a family does not consist of three persons, but rather 16 or 30 persons. There is the grandfather and all who belong to him, the father and all of his children, and then the children of the children, and they all want to stay together, and they remain together. And that's why the character is sometimes explained by the fact that the living space is not always sufficient. But not because there's no way to do it, but rather because these people have been of this type since time began. There, old and young do not separate, but young and old
and old age and very young, everything remains together. And therefore, this very situation. I just wanted to say this, because I know precisely, and also on my journeys, I not only read in the Bible, but in the various magazines and in the newspapers, reading the headlines at least. And therefore, I just wanted to have said this to you. Keep away from ever accepting an opinion which turns out to be harmful for Israel. Never accept this, but whatever our politicians say or not say, what they decide or not, my decision does not depend of my government, which, earthly speaking, is set by God, but which has closed eyes for the spiritual things. My decision is the decision God made. And God, via Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He spoke the people of Israel into existence. Also, they are just people. They made mistakes and probably still do it today. But this, Paul has said very clearly in Romans chapter 11, for the calling and election of God are without repentance. You will never see the day that God sits down and says, I now regret what I have decided. We may regret some things because we did it wrong. But God has nothing to regret because He made the right decisions. Did you ever experience that you regret a right decision? Most certainly not. When contrition comes, then only then, when one made wrong decisions, right or not. So God has nothing to regret. He made the right decisions forever. Is this not wonderful? And therein is our faith anchored. All politicians, they will soon give their power to the Lord, as the prophet Daniel has foretold it. All the other kingdoms will be destroyed, and the Lord will rule, and all the nations will serve Him. We are on the side of the victor of Calvary. We can't lose at all, because He won already. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we have to go into the Word. Before we do that and read the special scriptures, I would like, for the sake of those who can't cope with the number 666 and who also read other publications, especially of the radio evangelist, who writes very much about it, but who in fact has no biblical illumination and knowledge. He now even seeks the number 666 in Jerusalem, in the area code of the city council. You who have read these things, you are informed. This can only a man do who has bypassed what God has done in these days. And one can make even the greatest business with Israel and bypass the God of Israel. So it is very necessary that one time and again realizes how precious it is that God has given us, by the ministry of Brother Branham, an overall insight which can stand its ground before God into his plan of salvation. And all who think to be wise, they should read their own books after some years. 1980, the same man wrote about the constellation of the stars, of all what should happen in 1983. In 1984, from January the 1st, there's of course the great silence. You won't hear anything about it at all. Business was booming, money was made. May God keep us from this until the last day of our life. We are grateful that we have His Word. We are not under any pressure. We don't have to be something. We don't want any reputation. We want that God comes to His right among His people, and that all false teachings are exposed, because the enemy is hiding there to deceive the believers. So we are not against any man, but we are for God. And if we are for God, then we are for His Word, and by it everything is said. First and foremost, let me read to you concerning the mark of the beast from the seals book on page 56 and then on page 57. That these things will only come into effect after the rapture of the church, because many are worried that they no longer can buy and no longer sell, and that they have to endure this and that. I will read here now. I hope that you sit on good chairs. The Pope makes this contract with the Jews, and in the midst he breaks his covenant. As soon as he gets the thing wrapped up and gets the money of the Jews, and when he does that, he is called the Antichrist until the end of the church age. For he and his children are against Christ and the Word. Now he is going to get hold of the money, and that's where I think he will come in. Just a minute when I say this, then I want to go back to it in a minute. He is called the Antichrist, and in the sight of God, he is called the Antichrist until the end time. But then he will be called something else. Now, when he gets the money all under control, then he will break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel here said he would do it. In the midst of the 70th week, Daniel 9:27, he will have all of the world trade and the commerce. It's a pact with the world, cause he will hold the wealth of the world completely. And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call that 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast will set in, cause he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. When then the mark of the beast comes into effect, then no man can buy or sell except him that has the mark of the beast. But thanks be to God the bride church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. We won't have to go through that. I just wanted to have this read so that not unnecessary unrest is caused among the people. And if one also takes note of the beginning of this quote, then one notices how all ways lead there, how all come down on one knee and then kiss the ring and the finger. I was really shocked. I'm not a politician, but if one sees that all things, but really all things, are coming politically together there, then we know why God has sent Brother Branham, namely to show us the actual danger and to let us know precisely that the One is the spiritual Great Mother, called in the Book of Revelation Mystery Babylon the Great, and all the others are her daughters. But we will not deal with these things. I have decided to write some things now and not to travel so much anymore. But this I may tell you, it is on my heart to speak the clearest language of God which ever could be spoken. And this because of them who shall inherit salvation, and in the last moment pulling them out of the fire. You can't believe, there says a very old Pentecostal woman preacher, but if you look at this man there, what a lovely charisma he has. I can do without all lovely charisma. And as it is with me sometimes, then the Spirit of God comes upon me. And I said, dear sister, one question I have for you. When that what Paul has written in 2 Corinthians 11, when the arch enemy dressed in white would come and would speak to you, what would be his charisma? The time is too serious. It is impossible for us to be silent. If we are silent, to whom God's word and God's mysteries were entrusted to, who then has something to say? And who shall inform the people? No, more than my life it cannot cost to me. And this would be the most glorious thing which could happen to me. I would like to remain here until the coming of the Lord. But the will of God may happen in all things. Rather, I want to say together with Paul that others are pulled out and are coming to the knowledge of the truth. Let me briefly refer to that what we read, and then coming to the prophet Isaiah. Here in Psalms 85, the grace of God is highly praised. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, Thou hast covered all their sin. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This also, this psalm writer has written when Calvary was still in the future. Today, for us, it's no more a prophecy, but a fulfilled prophecy which became a divine reality for everyone who can believe with all his heart. And I think that we have no other choice but to believe with all our hearts. It continues, Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Do we all believe this? Do we believe with all our hearts that all sin which could still be forgiven is already forgiven when Christ, the Son of God, was smitten on the cross of Calvary and died there? That this alone is the reconciliation and forgiveness for every person who will be in heaven. There the Old and the New Testament was summarized, and for all who waited for the Savior, salvation has come. But now comes the second step. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? No, God can no longer be angry. The chastisement was laid upon the Lamb of God, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. And when I think on the glorious scripture from the prophet Isaiah chapter 53, and there is no comparable chapter in all of the Bible which describes our Lord on his way via Calvary and the crucifixion to his burial as this chapter in the prophet Isaiah 53. But right here, it is written in verse 1, Who has believed our message? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What does the term our message mean? The message of the prophets and of the apostles was the message of God. Our message today is the same message of God as it was then. Our message is the message of the cross and of the crucified one. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still today a living, a liberating, a saving, a blessed, a healing divine message for everybody who believes it. We don't hold speeches, but we present. And this is a vast difference. There can be written speech of Mr. Professor so-and-so, and this is right, he holds a speech. But men of God, they don't hold speeches about God, but they present that what God revealed to the people. They pass it on. They place it upon the table of God. And this is the vast difference. Speeches can be held all over about God, about His Word, about themselves, and so forth. But who can present divine things? For this, God has reserved the choice for Himself. He has chosen and dedicated His servants and prophets in advance from their mother's womb, so that He can present Himself through them. And alone in this we are interested in. And the difference is actually very simple. All servants of God who are chosen by Him could not be suitable for giving plausible lectures for the intelligence level. One would soon realize that their level of education is below that of the audience. And this I have heard at the preacher's conference in Amsterdam. There the representative of Billy Graham said, "This you must know. The one who preaches must know more than those who listen." But let us forget this and let us remain here in the matter. All this has become my second nature. It penetrated into my soul. Today, it's not about giving lectures somewhere, but it's about that it is presented what God has proclaimed through the prophetic scriptures in advance and what He revealed through the ministry of His servant and prophet. And for this, no distance is too far for us and no effort too much. So, divine message includes everything what serves for our bliss and for our salvation. Grace, love, justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Spirit, calling out, preparation, resurrection of them who sleep in Christ, changing of them who are still alive when He returns, everything is already contained in the divine plan of salvation. We just need to let God place us into it. And you know, the closer we get to the end, the more difficult, the more steep becomes our way. The narrower is the gate through which we have to go. But as we just read in this psalm, then God ceased His anger. The chastisement was laid on Him, on our Lord and Savior. And by His stripes, we are healed. Precious heart, receive it today by faith. For you, personally, that you are pardoned, that God has called you out, that God has redeemed you with his eternal love, not only in words, but in the deed, and that you are his own possession for time and for eternity. Somebody said, it was one of the church fathers, with whom God means well, he shows him his plan, like the master to his construction workers. And so it is. If God means well with us, then he shows us the time in which we live. And then he does not give us the self-imagined discernment, but a discernment through the Spirit of God, which is grounded and anchored in the Word of God. There are enough people who have the gift of discernment, as they think, and it runs after the same recipe in all the world. They discern in such a way that they are in the right and all the others in the wrong. This is the rule with this discernment. Beloved, with God, even every gift is bound and embedded in the Word. There is no gift of the Spirit that can be detached from the Word of God and interpret or apply it. Everything, but really everything, that was set in order by God must submit to the biblical order. And this is the only order which can stand before God. Why do preachers and evangelists rebel so terribly when you mention Brother Branham? I have now seen it again. Great evangelists, and we sit in Cairo. And of course, Branham was not unknown to them. But then always the same thing. But he said of himself to be the last God-sent prophet. I'm asking you this afternoon, put yourself in the situation of such a humble man who was born in the mountains of Kentucky, who went to school in rags, who covered with his hand the ripped trousers, so that not all the others laughed about him because he had no second trouser which he could have put on. A man who was born in the richest country of the world went through the terrible poverty through which a man could walk on this earth. Do you think he would make a claim if God had not revealed it to him and commissioned him? Nobody would have heard anything of this hillbilly. But because God has called him. And when the angel of the Lord on the 7th of May 1946 came to him and said, I was sent to you from the presence of God to tell you what kind of ministry you have to carry out. And that this angel of God even mentioned to him the scriptures, John chapter 1, about the story of Nathanael, and telling him the story of the woman at the well, taking the Bible and explained to this man, now repeats the same ministry. The same gift of revelation is given to you as the last sign for the church, as it was then as the last sign for the Jews and the Samaritans. I hardly like to hear anything from all of the preachings so much as this description, in which he refers to these things. Here, we don't deal with a man who wanted to become a preacher or who want to hold speeches, but with a man sent from God who had to present what is determined in the plan of salvation of our God since the foundation of the world for the church at the end of days. Do you all believe this? I believe this with all my heart. I give my life for it. Everything what God does is well done. But try to explain it to a man with whom God did not speak yet. There are two deaf ears and one hardened heart. And what comes out of this, we can all work out. And therefore, the statement in humility in the presence of God, what a privilege that we in these last days may hear the pure word of God, and that the Lord has given us the grace to not again interpret it or to explain it, but with all our hearts to believe it as the scripture has said it. And to whom this was given by God, he shall not fear anything. The blood of the Lamb remains on the throne of grace until Christ, our Lord and Savior, arises to fetch the blood-bought multitude. And then we will be with the Lord at all times. Beloved, let us now summarize it. The wrath of God has ceased. Salvation and grace was given to us. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Everything on the cross of Calvary, the meeting point. Sometimes one sees a sign, meeting point. There certain people meet. There's one meeting point of mankind with God. And this is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. There is the meeting point, the meeting place of mankind with God. Who has believed our message? Our message is the message of God, the message of Jesus Christ, the glorious, blessed Gospel shall make every man happy under all circumstances. And this I say to myself today, personally, just like to all of us. Let us no longer grieve God through unbelief, by going along sadly ourselves. If it is a divine sadness, then it will cause a remorse and will bring forth a result. But if it is a sadness about things we cannot change, about what people are doing to us, then the Lord would have to have walked along sadly for 3 years, and all the prophets likewise. In believing in our Lord, we want to grasp anew that the message of God is a message of salvation, a message of grace, a message of salvation, of healing, and of redemption. And that it doesn't just stay with this message, but that this message leads us to the one who has become all that. The content of this divine message is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has been made everything to us by God. If it would only be a doctrine, in the German language, it is a play of words. On one hand, a doctrine, on the other hand, an emptiness. But because here it is about a divine message, which is in connection with that who has given it and who has taken the responsibility for it. And so today, precious heart, you can rely on it 100% that the Lord stands behind his message. And all that, what is proclaimed in this divine message, he will give it to him who believes it. Can we grasp this? Is this clear enough? We, of course, did not only hear a message about which we speak. This message coming from God circulates. It goes forth from the throne of grace, comes into our heart, and joins us with God, so that the channel is open and that the promised blessings from God can flow down upon all who have heard this happy message. So not only a message in words, but this message brings us to Christ, who is our salvation, our forgiveness, our peace, who has become everything to us. Glorious message of love, tell it to me again, as the hymn goes. Hallelujah! A wonderful divine message addressed to the people of God in these days. Isaiah asks, who has believed our message, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let me bring this sermon to a close with one of my favorite declarations, which I have carried in my heart for years. I read once again, and then I will emphasize it. Who has believed our message, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The answer is, to all them who have believed the divine message, the arm of the Lord was revealed, and they have seen the right hand of God exalted. We don't take a risk if we believe, do we? Do we take a risk if we believe what God said to us in his word? Surely not. He has taken the responsibility. But this is the question. Who believes our message? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The answer is all who believe this divine message with all their heart. To them, the arm of the Lord is revealed. Whether this took place already, or whether it happens today or tomorrow, this is God's thing. But one thing is sure, for this is the only answer. Whoever believes the divine message, to him the arm of the Lord will be revealed. He may, the salvation, the healing, the forgiveness, the full redemption, he may claim it for himself by faith. And this is then a thing between you and your God. No man has given it to you, and no one can take it from you. Oh, that the Lord could tune in you and in my heart everything, so that any disharmony, doubts and unbelief could be taken out from it, and that we would be in total agreement with God and His Word, and that this divine harmony would be manifested. We would see the glory of God in our midst today. This He of course promised to us in His Word. The faith comes by hearing, and we have heard the sermon. Faith has started. Hallelujah. For thus it is written, either we believe God's word or not. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. So, when the sermon is finished, then the result of the sermon is faith, right or not? If this is not the case, brothers and sisters, then let us cry to God. We don't have to cry for a long time, and also not loud. Just say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It can only be unbelief which makes us faint-hearted, which binds us and which paralyzes us. But He who spoke, He is trustworthy. All His words are yes and amen. His promises, which are fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wonderful, divine message. Who has believed the last message of God? Precious heart, the arm of God is revealed to all in these last days. To them who believe the testimony of God, the last message of God, believing it against all resistance. Thus it will be. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our heart through Jesus Christ our Lord, for your divine message, for your word, for the redemption, for the pardoning, for the peace of God, which is higher than any understanding. And now we pray together for all our beloved brothers and sisters who are newly added. May they feel the love of God in us. May this become their spiritual home, Lord, that they are prepared under the sound of your word to also see your face. Faithful Lord, while people hear all kinds of messages and one is running after the other and believes it, You have given us grace before your second coming to hear the voice of your word and of your spirit and of your servant. For this we thank you, and we ask you, faithful Lord, make people out of us who believe your message, people who experience what you have said in your message. Blessed and praised be thy wonderful and glorious name, O God. Our hearts are flowing over of praise and thanks. Who are we? People despise us. They get out of our way. They avoid the fellowship with us. And you have become our friend. Hallelujah. Oh, you have loved us. Hallelujah. Praised be your wonderful name, Lord. Save everyone who is not yet saved. Heal all the sick. Deliver all the captives. Lord, make your divine message on all levels a glorious, empowered gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Make it the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed and praised be your holy name throughout all eternity. Amen. Amen.